Turn with me to 1 Corinthians 13. I've been looking at this thought of good for nothing. It's talking about the fact that we can do all kinds of good things, and it'll mean nothing if we do not have love. That's what the Lord said. Begin reading in verse 1. Though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not charity, I am become as sounding brass and a tinkling cymbal. And listen to all the things that he talks about. Though I have the gift of prophecy and understand all mysteries and all knowledge, and though I have all faith so that I could remove mountains and have not charity or love, I am nothing. And though I bestow all my goods to feed the poor, and though I give my body to be burned and have not charity, it profiteth me nothing. Charity suffereth long and is kind. Charity envieth not. Charity vaunteth not itself, is not puffed up. Did not behave itself unseemly. Seeketh not her own. Is not easily provoked. Thinketh no evil. Rejoiceth not in iniquity, but rejoiceth in the truth. Beareth all things, believeth all things, hopeth all things, endureth all things. Sound like love's a pretty good thing to me. Charity never faileth, but whether there be prophecies, they shall fail. Whether there be tongues, they shall cease. Whether there be knowledge, it shall vanish away. And in these verses I've already said, the Lord is saying through Paul, all the good things we do without love is a big noise. You probably wish I wouldn't do it again. Some of you want to take these home and hide them from me because that is an irritating sound. And he said that all these good things that we can do without love is like a bunch of noise. It not only is no good, to tell you the truth, it's kind of irritating. I'm kind of getting tired of hearing it myself, but I want to make my point. With those things in mind, turn with me to Ephesians 4. Ephesians chapter 4. I have looked at the perception of love, knowing what real love is. The permanence of love. He said love never faileth. It will last through all eternity. The prominence of love, he said, it's first. It should be foremost in everything we apply to our lives. The portrait of love, Jesus Christ, is our example. The perversion of love, this world knows nothing about love, and sadly, sometimes God's people do not know either. But I want to mention tonight the patience of love. The patience of love. You may say, what in the world are you going to talk about? Well, when I get talking about it, you'll know. It takes patience to love people. Maybe you already know where I'm going. The patience of love. Notice what the Lord says through our brother Paul in Ephesians 4, beginning in verse 1. I therefore, in the prisoner of the Lord, beseech ye to walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called. Notice, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He talks here as a prisoner, and he says to people, to God's people, I want you to love. The reason we need patience in love is because we are in an evil world. This world is not perfect, and that means the people in this world are not perfect, including me and including you. We are imperfect people in an imperfect world. This world is full of sinners, and sinners do bad things. And sometimes those bad things they do are to us, or against us, or affect us. And yet we're still to love them. Know what that takes? Patience. A patience that only God can give us. To learn how to deal with people. Boy, that's a job, that's a lesson I'm not sure we'll ever learn in this world. But the Lord wants us to learn how to deal with people. Even those who hurt us or talk about us or take advantage of us, even those who don't like us, and yes, even those we don't like. We just will be honest. There's some people we just do not like. I know that sounds unspiritual, and perhaps, not perhaps, I know it is, but it's still the truth. And guess what God says we're to do? We're to love them. We are to love those who hatefully, despitefully use us. We are to love our enemies, those that's against us. That's what He does, and that's what He says for us to do. To begin with, we need to make sure that we are not the one that's guilty of the friction or the problem. Make sure I'm not the one that initiated the issue between me and someone else. Now, this doesn't just apply to the church. This applies to life. It applies to the person at the house, the person at the job, the person across the street from you. This applies to anybody breathing. The patience of love. We need patience to make sure that we love properly. Now, if we're the one doing wrong, we need to accept the blame and change. But we need to realize there are times we're just going to have to be patient with people. Could I mention first, we need to recognize the source. Notice what Paul says. He says, I therefore the prisoner of the Lord. The prisoner of the Lord. Now I got a question. How did Paul end up in prison? I mean, really, humanly speaking, how did the man end up in a prison cell? Well, I'll tell you how. Number one, he wasn't doing anything wrong but preaching Christ. And someone, a person, did not like what he was saying. And someone took him by force. And someone took him and locked him to a cell. And someone closed that cell and left him there. In other words, someone did this to Paul. But Paul realized that someone, those people who did this against me, they're not my real problem. They're not the real issue. The source of my problem goes further than that man who locked the door of my cell. The source of my problem is the devil. We need to recognize the source. He was in prison wrongly, yes, and somebody put him in there, yes, they did. But Paul realized that's not the one that's my enemy. The devil's in my enemy. We need to realize and recognize that we are not fighting against each other. It is not mankind that's our enemy, even though some may not like you a lick. But our enemy is the devil. That's why the Lord said, we're not fighting. We don't strive against flesh and blood, but against principalities and against powers. All we see is that person and that woman or that man or that boy or that girl. We're not looking close enough. The real issue is the devil behind them. We need to recognize the source. Oh, we need to look past just the people. Now, by the way, they're not excusable. They are to blame. The person who locked that door did wrong. The person who tracked him down and put him in prison, they were wrong, there's no doubt, because Paul had done nothing wrong. They were accountable, they were responsible, but again, the devil's the one that was behind it. And so it is with us in our lives. Oh, listen, we need to realize who our enemy is. How in the world can we expect victory if we're not even fighting against the right enemy? There's no way in the world we're going to win this fight if we're fighting against the wrong person. We need to go past that person and see the devil behind that person and that issue and that problem. And by the way, there are times that the devil will use some of God's choice saints to go against you. I think about Peter. And as far as I can think, when Peter was alive and the disciples were alive and before Jesus died, Peter was about as good as you get. As far as I can tell, now John probably was a little bit closer, and I know he loved the Lord more, but as far as a man of God and doing God's will, Peter was a pretty good fella. And Peter said, "You're not going to that cross. Oh, no, I will die before I let you go to the cross." And what did Jesus say? He said, "Peter, just settle down, boy." Or he said, "Peter, I sure do appreciate you standing up for me." No, he didn't. He looked in Peter's eyes, but he looked past those eyes and saw who was saying what Peter had said. And he said, "Satan, Satan." Oh, listen. Sometimes the devil will use the choices of God's saints to try to get to us. So we need to recognize the source. We need to realize where it's coming from. Not only we need to recognize the source, but we need to remember the Savior. Notice what he says, a prisoner of the Lord. He said, "I'm not in this thing alone. I'm a prisoner here at Rome. I'm a prisoner in a cell. I'm in prison. I'm locked away. Man has put me in a place I cannot get out of. But man's not the one that's got me in this prison. The Lord allowed, or the Lord caused me to go here." Paul saw more than a prison. He saw the Lord. He said, "I'm not a prisoner of Rome. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. And if he wants me in prison, fine. If he wants me in a palace, that's okay too. I am his prisoner. I am his servant. He's my Lord and he's my God. And he can have his will in my life. And I say, yes, sir, whatever he wants." We need to remember the Savior. You see, our Savior, even though we do not understand many things we face, will never do us wrong. Was Paul wronged by mankind? Sure. Was Joseph wronged by his brothers? Sure. Are there plenty of people in the Bible and plenty of people in the church who have been wronged by people? Yes. But we need to recognize something. God allowed it for a reason. He could have stopped it, but he didn't. It's not that it slipped by him. He wasn't busy somewhere on the other side of the universe trying to make sure the stars were running right, and it slipped by him and didn't see it was happening to you or me. He knew and he knows and he's right. We need to remember him. He's still in charge of everything in our life. Not just the good things. And I love the good things. I prayed a prayer yesterday morning. And I believe the Lord answered it. And I believe it was a little mini miracle for me. And I tell you what, I could think of circumstances. I could think of things how somehow it could have happened. But I just believe God answered. And you know what? He didn't have to. He could have let my problem stay and I'd have had to deal with it in however way I could. But thank the Lord, I believe he answered prayer. But he didn't have to. And sometimes he doesn't answer my prayer like I want. But he's still right. He's still God. And sometimes he lets that person be the way they are. And he lets them say what they did. And he lets them do what they did. But he's still God. And we need to remember. We need to remember the Savior. And ask ourselves this. How would he react? What would he do if he was in my circumstance? What would he do if this person did or is doing or said or won't? Why is he allowed it? I don't know, but I know this. He knows best. And I do know this. He would do the right thing. He would do the right thing. Guess what? That means he wants us to do the right thing. He wants us to do like Him. There's a man that has come with a crowd. He has a sword. And they're going to arrest this man in the Garden of Gethsemane who has done nothing wrong. The man is Jesus. And the soldier that's just doing his job, probably with anger, probably gladly. I'm assuming he didn't care much about this Jesus man. We don't know that. But Peter stood up for the Lord and swung his sword and cut the man's ear off. And what did Jesus say? Yeah, you got what you deserve, huh? Try and take me again, Buster. No, he picked up the ear and put it back on. The man who was coming to wrongfully arrest him and take him to eventually what would be the cross, Jesus is doing good for him. And Jesus said, you be like me. You love them anyway. I'm talking about the patience of love. It takes patience to love like the Bible says. I'm talking this evening about how we're to love no matter what. We need to recognize the source. It's not them. It's the devil behind them. We need to remember the Savior. What would He do? I'll tell you what He did. Peter tells us, who when He was reviled, reviled not again. And when He suffered, He threatened not. He suffered by the hand of mankind. What's it talking about? And when He suffered, He threatened not, but committed Himself to Him that judgeth righteously. Even the Son of God committed Himself to the Father in taking care of Him and settling the score. And if He did, I'm assuming He wants us to. Here's what Paul said later on. Be kind one to another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. I have mentioned tonight the patience of love. We need to recognize the source. It's not just them, it's the devil. Need to remember the Savior. He put us in that for a reason, and He gave us the example of how we're to love. And then thirdly, we need to realize the solution. Look in verse 2. With all love, with all lowliness and meekness and longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. There's the solution. Here's what we do. With all lowliness and meekness, with longsuffering, forbearing one another in love. You know what that means? Being patient. Loving them anyway. Well, what in the world does that mean? I think it means first, don't snap. Now, the first thing I think about when I say that is snap as far as our temper. And that's not what I'm talking about. That applies. But I'm talking about don't snap to a conclusion. You know where a lot of problems between people come from? You know what starts a whole lot of conflicts between church people and family people, neighbor people, work people, people and people? A misunderstanding. For instance, Bill will come in, and we don't have a Bill. And Bob will come in, and Bob's not feeling good, and Bill will look at Bob and say, what in the world is wrong with him today? And he'll go home and say, you know what? That rascal didn't even speak to me. I haven't done anything to him. I'll tell you one thing. It'll be a cold day in July the next time I speak to him. So that night he comes in and he asks knowledge. And old Bob gets to thinking, well, I wonder what was wrong with Bill. And from nothing, a feud starts. Remember Andy? They didn't even know what they were fighting about. Well, I'll tell you what, we Christians learned that a long time ago. I'm talking about don't snap to a conclusion. Don't just assume something's wrong. It may just be that the fella's got a tummy ache, or it may just be that the lady just doesn't feel good. Don't snap. I'm talking about realize the solution. What in the world do we do? How do we have patience and love? Don't snap. Don't shun. It means to avoid intentionally. Don't shun them. You don't have to be everybody's best buddy. But shunning somebody because of what they did and staying away from them and avoid them. I hope it's not true here. I hope it's not true here. I hope it's not true here. But I do know of churches where one sits on that side and the other sits on this side, not because they like left and right, but because that one's over there and that one's over there and they ain't about to sit close together. And they'll go all the way around the church to get out to where they won't come in contact with that person. I'm telling you, that grieves God. Don't shun. Don't think you're on opposite sides. They may be completely different than you. But love means we love them anyway. And you know what love means? We treat them right anyway. That's what Jesus did. We need to realize the solution. Number one, don't snap. Number two, don't shun. Number three, don't strike. Don't strike out in revenge. Don't say, I'm going to get even. I got the right to get even. Don't treat them wrongly. Romans 12:17. Recompense to no man evil for evil. They did me wrong. I'm going to do them wrong. I'll get them back. They'll be sorry they did that to me. Boy, I'll tell you what, we need to make sure we don't strike back. We don't try to retaliate. It is amazing how so many people, and I don't know if anybody here, hope there isn't true. Maybe this is a warning lesson or message tonight. But it's amazing how many people think they have the right to fight back or to strike back because somebody's done them wrong. We don't have the right to do wrong no matter what. Wrong is always wrong, and right is always right. Romans 12:19. Dearly beloved, avenge not yourselves, but rather give place unto wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, saith the Lord. I hear somebody saying, yeah, that's what I'm doing. I'm giving place for wrath. I'm letting it boil a little bit before I strike back. I want to make sure I'm good and mad. I'm going to figure out a good plan to really get even at him, what that talks about. Avenge not yourself. Don't fight back. Don't strike back. And why? Because God said, vengeance is mine. I will repay. Give place means to give room. It means to back off and let God move in and handle the situation. And he goes further just to make sure we don't misunderstand. And he said, do not take vengeance because I say vengeance is mine. I will repay. If they did wrong, don't you think I noticed? If they're doing wrong, don't you think I'm very much aware? Don't you think I heard what they said, what they did? Don't you think I know about them? By the way, I know about you too. God said they're not going to get by. You may think they are, but they're not going to get by. And we shouldn't say, oh boy, he's going to get them. He's going to get them. It ought to break our heart. Remember what I said not long ago about David? The people who had wronged him. And he says, I can't even sleep at night. It breaks my heart so bad. My heart is broken. My eyes are full of tears because of what's going to happen to them. Don't strike. Don't fight back. Don't try and get even. Let God handle it, and he's going to handle it the right way. You know what? If I can trust him with my eternal soul, I can trust him with my relationships with people, whether that's somebody very close or somebody distant. I can trust him with anybody and anything, even those that mistreat me. We need to realize the solution. What in the world do we do? Number one, don't snap to a conclusion. Don't shun. Don't strike. Then next, don't sink. Don't sink down to their level and do what they did. Rise above that selfish attitude. Rise above that evil and repay it with good. See why I'm saying patience of love? This takes some grace. This takes God. You know the best way to get rid of the enemy? Well, let's see, poison, a shotgun. No, best way to get rid of an enemy is make them your friend. And that's exactly what Jesus tried to do. He went around doing good. Boy. And everybody he was doing good to wasn't good. And a lot of people he was doing good to were doing bad to him. And that's what we're supposed to do. Don't sink. Don't sink down to their level. Romans 12, 21 again says, "But not be not overcome of evil, but overcome evil with good." You defeat him, the devil, and you defeat them and the battle between them by doing good and doing right, and even doing good to them. Oh, I tell you what, this isn't easy, but it's still right. Romans 12, 20, "Therefore, if thy enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him drink." Don't sink down to their level. Rise above and be spiritual. And do right to those who do wrong, even though they're doing wrong toward you. Somebody will say, "Well, if I do that, they are really going to take advantage of me." They might. And some will. But I got to ask a question. Did he say to do that or not? Did he tell us to not fight back, not strike back? Did he tell us to repay evil with good? Did he say it or not? If he said it, we're to do it, whether we're worried about them taking advantage of us or not. By the way, he can handle them. He can take care of them. And he'll make sure it's done right. And that's why we can trust him. That's why we should obey him. And let him take care of it. I promise you, if we try to handle it our way, we're going to make matters worse. But if we'll back off and give place to the Lord, he'll handle it right. But you know what he's going to do? You know the steps he's going to take? You know the goal that he has? To get them right. To reconcile them. To get them to see their problem, to see their failure, to confess it and get it right. That's his goal. That's his desire. By the way, that's exactly what he does with us. He ain't just wanting to knock us flat and give us a whooping and make us hurt. He's wanting to reconcile us, and I'm glad. I'm talking tonight about patience of love, being patient and the way we love others. You see, some people, if they have their way, they're not going to give you a chance to be good to them. They're not going to give you a chance to love them. Jesus experienced that. There were times that he, after doing good, they said, "Will you please leave? Will you get out of here?" He loved a whole lot of people who did not love him back. But he still did the right thing. And that's why Romans 12, 18 says, "If it be possible," because sometimes it ain't possible, "if it be possible, as much as life in you, live peaceably with all men." If it be possible, because it isn't always possible, "as much as life in you, you do all you can with God's help and God's assurance and God's power to make sure you're not the one wrong, and then let God take care of it." Because sometimes they will not see the need, care, be concerned, want to change. We need to make sure if there's any refusal to get along, that it is not on our part. I'm going to say it again. We need to make sure that if there's any refusal to get along, that it isn't on our part. And I want to close with this. Why should I do this that I've talked about tonight? Why should I love somebody who has mistreated me? Or doesn't like me, or is different than me, Why should I love somebody that isn't doing right? I'll tell you why. Because I know somebody who wasn't doing right. And I know somebody that was mistreating someone else. And I know somebody who rejected that other person, even though they were good, and abused them, and shunned them, and talked about them, and ignored them. But that injured person still loved that person who had done wrong. You know what? I'm the one that did wrong. And he's the one who loved me anyway. For 20 years, I shunned the Lord, ignored the Lord, ridiculed him, disobeyed, gladly so. But he did not act according to how I treated him. He loved me to him and forgave me when I just asked him. And if he can do that for me, undeserving, unworthy, we can do it for others. Now, again, this message is not just something about someone that's done wrong to you, even though that's been part of my emphasis. This is just that we're to love people in general. And sometimes they do us wrong. And sometimes they just do wrong, period. But we're to love them. And that takes patience. And this evening, we need to ask the Lord for patience to where we can love people as we should and respond correctly to people who are very hard to love at times. Let's stand together.